Good morning. Hope that you have had a wonderful time of family, food, fun, and fellowship over the last several days. And we enter into a time in which the words, I love you and thank you, are always so important and appropriate. And yet there are places in God's Word in which there were folks that did not express gratitude. And so this morning, I'd like for us to look at a very interesting story found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, where 10 people came to our Lord for help. He helped all 10 of them, and only one came back to express gratitude. The disease of leprosy was the greatest disease of the first century and was often referred to as the father of defilement. It was, besides touching the dead, the worst disease that a person could have. And a person who had leprosy was known to, if they even walked into the entrance of a house, to defile the entire house, they thought, because of the thought concerning this disease. On this occasion, our Lord helped out 10 different people. But first of all, we have to think about the plight in which these men were in. And so in Luke chapter 13, listen to what the Bible said concerning those that had this dreaded disease of leprosy. Verse 44, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. He shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean! Unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. A leper sort of stuck out like a sore thumb. They had to commune together. His clothes would have to be torn so that people could see the person and what he had. His head had to be kept bare so that they could see perhaps the defilement upon their body caused by this. The upper lip was to be kept covered. And any time he came around the contact of a human being, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. He had to stay at least 6 feet away from a healthy individual. But the rabbis thought that if the wind was blowing, they wanted you to be 100 feet away from anybody that would be considered healthy. Also with this terrible disease was the isolation that one felt and the thinking that you must have done something to have caused this to be yours. The rabbis would make a statement, no death without sin and no pain without transgression. The sick is not healed till his sins are forgiven him. We all know that there are some diseases or illnesses that are caused because of bad decisions that we make. But we also know that there are many diseases that people have that have to be dealt with that they had no reason for it to be given to them. They did not cause it in any way. I've known of people who dealt with cirrhosis of the liver that never drank the first ounce of alcohol. Or folks that deal with lung cancer that never had the first cigarette. But in their thinking, if you had this disease, it was because you had done something morally unclean. Or you had done something wrong to have this disease become a part of your body. Here in Luke chapter 17, the Bible tells us that these men are on the outskirts of a city. Our Lord is headed into Jerusalem, but he is going through a certain village. And the Bible tells us in verse 12, now as he entered, he sees these people for the very first time. You see, they couldn't go into a walled city. They did not have the opportunity ever of going into the city of Jerusalem itself. And so they had to remain on the outskirts. And Jesus, as he is going into a village on his way to Jerusalem, sees these people. You see, leprosy attacked either the outside of the body or the internal organs of the body. Leprosy would be often seen in its extremities, the loss of fingers, toes. It could also be taking in regards to the face itself. An ear might fall off in time, or even a nose. Another type of leprosy would attack the internal parts of the body, causing excruciating pain and ultimate death. And so indeed, the plight of this situation was indeed grave. But now secondly, let's examine their plea. The Bible says that they were standing afar off, but they recognized who Jesus was. And notice that the Bible says that in verse 13, they lifted up their voices. One of the byproducts of leprosy was that it affected the larynx, the vocal cords. And so a person was very hoarse and would not be able to speak with a loud volume. Here, 10 men all huddled together, and together they cry out with the hope that our Lord would hear them. The Bible tells us that he saw them. It may be that he didn't actually even hear them, as hoarse as they were. But he saw them, 10 men all huddled together in this plight with their clothes torn and their head bare. It'd be hard to not see such a person or group of people. And notice what they cried out. Verse 13, Jesus, his name means salvation. Master, another name for rabbi, have mercy on us. Why is it that these men in this plight didn't ask for healing? The answer is because of what the Bible has to say about those who in fact ask for mercy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." Later on in Ephesians 2, verse 4, "God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." And then again in Psalm 52, verse 8, he says, "I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." Their hope was that God's mercy, Jesus' mercy on this occasion, would do far more than what they were asking for. And so they just asked for mercy with the hope that he would do what they desired and even more. Mercy is having compassion on those that we need to pity because of the terrible situation in which they're in. So their plea was for mercy. Next, we notice the present that Jesus offered them. He sees them, and the Bible says in verse 14, he says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And our Lord would often heal people in various ways. Sometimes he would actually touch them. He did not on this occasion. Sometimes he would heal someone from a distance with them not even being in his presence. Sometimes he would just say the words and the person would become healed. But on this occasion, interestingly enough, his words of healing are based on faith. Their faith in him. That they would believe that he had the ability to heal them by him telling them to do what in fact he did. If we went back to Leviticus chapter 14, we would see that when a person was healed from leprosy, after it left their bodies, that until they went to show themselves to the priest, somewhat like a health inspector, and got his approval, him signing off that in fact the leprosy was gone, they were still considered unclean. However, our Lord in essence was saying, if you believe in me and in my words, then you trust me and begin your journey of showing yourself to the priest right now. Believe that I have the power to do what you've asked me to do, and that in fact you are in the presence of already beginning to be healthy once again. And so he said simply, you go and show yourselves to the priest. And notice the statement there in verse 14. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Think about all the ways in which our Lord desires us to show our faith in Him. Every day is a day of faith. We trust that our God is going to see after us, that God is going to watch over us. We pray in faith, trusting that God will help those that we love to be made better. Our salvation is based upon an act of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2, verse 8. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's grace on God's part and faith on our part. That when we come to Him, that when we make that statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then I go into that watery grave of baptism. I am putting my faith in what our Lord has said, that when I come in contact with that water, when I go under that water and come up out of that water, He says all of my sins have been washed away by His blood. It's all of faith. And so on this occasion, it was an act of faith on these people's part. And can you imagine how these 10 men must have felt as they began the process of going to the Jewish priest and beginning to see the extremities form on their body once again, the leprosy go out of their body, and then to become healed once again? They didn't know the statement, but certainly they would have made something like that statement found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable, this indescribable gift. Their plight was terrible. Their plea was for mercy. The present was based on faith. But then notice the praise of the one that was healed. He didn't wait to go and be certified fit and healthy by the priest. But realizing that the leprosy is gone, looking at his outer extremities and realizing that he's normal once again. Notice what he does. He goes back to the Savior that saved him. And with a loud voice. Remember, beforehand, they couldn't talk loud. But now with a loud voice, he glorifies God. How wonderful that he was willing to do this. You see, Jesus practiced what he taught us to do. That we should live in such a way so that people will not honor us, but honor God for the work that we do. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's exactly what he was doing here. He was glorifying the God for the Son that had saved him. Jesus on this earth came to do not his will, but the Father's will. John 6, verse 38. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. In John 17, shortly before his death on the cross, he makes that statement in verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. One of the last statements on the cross was, it is finished. He had done exactly what God had wanted him to do. And here on this occasion, this man is rightly honoring God and glorifying him for the physical health that was now his. Notice the posture of this man's praise. Verse 16 said, he fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. It was a posture of submission. It was a posture of reverence. And remember the point of this. This man is a Samaritan. We go to John chapter 4 and we see that the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings with one another. That the other men, at least some of them were Jews, must be noted because he was sending them to go to a Jewish priest in order for them to be seen as certified fit and healthy once again. 10 men, all in common with lepers. Sometimes barriers are broken down because of diseases. Sometimes barriers are broken down because of problems that run into our lives. We don't think about black and white. We just think about the common problem that we all have. And on this occasion, here was a Samaritan among at least some other Jews that had the problem all together. But only one comes back to show his reverence to God and his respect to Jesus. Our Lord mentions this in verses 17 and 18, a pathetic picture of ingratitude. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? This word for foreigner or stranger was literally found on the limestone block outside in front of the ancient temple of Jerusalem. It was placed there as a sign in the court of the Gentiles next to the court of women. And there was a statement that was found there, let no foreigner enter here. This Samaritan would never be able to go into the temple of God. And yet here he was praising the Lord of the temple. 10 people, all having received the same present, but only one said in essence, thank you. The Lord asked the question, where are the 9? Where were the 9? All of them were healed. All of them were healed as they were going to the presence of the priest before they got there. Someone has fictitiously suggested where they might have been. One of them did not believe that he had leprosy anyway, but only a mild skin condition. Another was back home already with his family. Another was writing his memoirs of his life as a leper. Still another had already gone back to work. One was telling his life story of how it was to live among a dreaded Samaritan. Still another was giving all the praise to the priest who pronounced him clean. Another waited, in fact, to see if he really was cured. Another wanted to make sure it was going to last. And finally, the 9th one, saying that he was going to thank Jesus later for what he had done for him. Their life had been given back to them. They could go back home and live among their family. They could go out in public. If they were a Jew, they could go into the temple. And yet only one had the decency of expressing his gratitude to the Lord. In this story also, we find the peace that must have been his. Jesus rewarded him for his gratitude. He makes that statement, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Some have suggested that he was suggesting more than just the physical health that was his, that in fact he was helping him in a spiritual condition. We're not sure of that as well, or for sure, but we do know that this man must have had songs of rejoicing because of all the things that came his way and because of the great blessings that were his. What are some lessons we can learn from this most interesting story? First of all, it's so very important that we express our gratitude for the kindnesses that are given to us. We must never take for granted the gift that people give to us. If the two most important words in all the English language is, I'm sorry, then the other second most important words are, thank you. And so important, not just at the holiday season, but that every day we express to people our gratitude and our love for what they do to us. Secondly, as we have sung today, is so important that we show, not just at this time of the year, but every day, our great gratitude and love to God for all that He has done for us. The psalmist put in Psalm 103, begin with verse 1-2, these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." The question that our Lord asks is one that we need to think about. Are we the nine, or would we be the one? Today, as we come to worship Him, do we think about the significance of what our God has done for us, not just this weekend, but every day in which we live? The great blessings that are ours. And so do we use opportunities like this to come and praise and show our love and glory to God for what He has done? This man was at work one day and somebody said, "I hear you're a Christian." He said, "Yes, I am." "What does that mean?" He said, "I just go around every day bragging on Jesus." Isn't that a pretty good commentary of what we're to do? Just to show our honor, our love, our adoration. Every day, every breath that we have, to show our love to God for what He has done. We sing a song, "For all that you have done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do, for all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you." A Christian one day was called by his tax assessor toward the end of the year to see what kind of taxes he was going to owe. And he said, "Well, tell me your possessions. Tell me what you have." And this man said, "I am a rich man." He said, "Well, tell me the things that you have." He said, "Sir, I have remission of sins through the blood of Christ. I have a mansion that is awaiting for me in heaven. I have a peace that passes all understanding. I have a joy that is indescribable. It comes to me in the morning. I have songs in the night because of what God has done for me. I have a Savior who walks with me every day. I have a wonderful family that loves me, loyal children. I have a crown of life awaiting me." The tax assessor said, "Sir, indeed you are a rich man, but we cannot tax you for any of those things that you mentioned, because every one of them brings you 100% profit." Indeed, we are grateful for all that we have, and I hope that we will use not just this day, but every day that in which we live, to think about how blessed we are, and that we have a God who carries us, a God who watches over us, a God who, according to the Bible, says that He even knows about the tears that He can catch in a bottle when we cry out because of the sorrows that are ours. The song that we're about to sing suggests the idea that if our life is not as it ought to be, we can bring Christ our broken life. He understands because He lived upon this earth. And today, if you're not a child of His in faith, He wants you to come, turning from the sins of your life, confessing that wonderful name of His as God's Son, and then submitting your will to His by giving your life to Him, by allowing Him to wash away all those sins, and then to take on a great family of God, the church, that can help you with whatever burdens you're bearing. Many in this audience have already done that. But perhaps there are burdens that we're trying to handle alone. Maybe there are sins in our lives that separate us from God and His church, and so we can't know of that gratitude because we're being ungrateful and we're not living the life that we ought to live. Let's be like the one and come back and express our praise and glory to God and ask forgiveness of wrong and restore that salvation once again in our lives. Allow good brethren to pray with you and for you. Bring Christ your broken life. He will restore it once again. Why not come right